Chapter 6. Mr. Wopsle was in Shakespeare's Hamlet, so Herbert and I went to the theatre to see the play. The actor who was playing the ghost of Hamlet's father had a very bad cough and couldn't remember any of his lines, so he had his script in his hand for the whole play. Hamlet's mother had a chain around her head to keep her crown on her head. Ophelia annoyed everyone in the theatre so much that they cheered when she killed herself. Mr. Wopsle was Hamlet and was scared of the skull he had to hold. The audience replied to everything that the actor said, so it was less of a play and more like a conversation. Herbert and I tried to give Mr. Wopsle a standing ovation, but the rest of the audience didn't stand or clap. We did our best not to laugh at the play, and then tried to run away before Mr. Wopsle could find us at the end. Before we could leave, a man came up to take us to see Mr. Wopsle. He asked us what we thought about the play. We did our best to lie to him and say nice things. We took Mr. Wopsle out to dinner and stayed out talking until 2 o'clock in the morning. Mr. Wopsle talked about being an actor all the time we were with him. I was miserable when I went to bed that night. I had many strange dreams that night. In one of them, I was Hamlet and Miss Havisham was Hamlet's mother. A few days later, I got a letter from Estella saying she was coming to London. Pip, come and get me the day after tomorrow at about 12 o'clock. She didn't sign it, but I knew it was from her. I didn't have enough time to go and get some new clothes before I had to go and meet Estella. I couldn't eat or sleep, knowing that I was going to see her. The day that Estella was coming to London, I went to wait for the carriage at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was worried about her getting to London early and not being there to meet her. On my way to meet the carriage, I met Wemmick. He was going to Newgate Prison and asked me to go with him. All the men in the prison liked Wemmick. He was a very important person. To the prisoners, he was a man that could get them out of prison because he knew the law. Wemmick took me to meet a colonel who was a little crazy. "I don't think the trial is going to go very well, Colonel," Wemmick told him. The colonel stood up and shook Wemmick's hand and told Wemmick was going to get him some pigeons. The prison guards asked Wemmick a lot of questions about Mr. Jagger's cases, but he managed to talk without answering any of them. We left the prison and talked about Mr. Jagger's and how many prisoners liked him. I said goodbye to Wemmick and went to meet Estella. It was strange to think of Estella after seeing so many prisoners. Prisoners seemed to find a way into his life ever since he was a little boy. I wished that I had never gone to Newgate Prison. It had made time go by quickly, though, and it wasn't long before I saw Estella waving at me out of the carriage window. She looked even more beautiful than the last time I had seen her. She told me we were going to ride in a carriage to her new home, and that she was going to pay for everything on our journey. We went to have lunch before going to Richmond. She took us to a little shop that charged a lot of money for a little piece of cake and some horrible tea. Estella told me that the Pockets wrote horrible letters about me to Miss Havisham. But Miss Havisham loved making the Pockets jealous. "There is nothing in the world that would make Miss Havisham think you are a horrible boy," Estella said. She then told me all about what it was like to grow up in a house where people only wanted money. I hadn't thought that Estella had been miserable as a child, but I felt sorry for her now. I took her hand and kissed it, and then I kissed her cheek. Estella sat still as I kissed her, but she went on with what she had been doing before. It was as if I hadn't kissed her at all. We finished our lunch and then got into the carriage to go to Richmond. Miss Havisham was paying one of her rich friends to look after Estella and introduce her to other rich people. "You are expected to come and visit me like a proper gentleman," she told me. I thought that that meant I could go and visit Estella all the time. I thought about how she would fall in love with me on this visit and we would get married. I said goodbye to her at the door to her house in Richmond. The maids came out of the house to take Estella and all her things inside. I was upset when I watched Estella go and had to go back to London without her. When I got back to London, I went to the Pockets' house. Herbert's sister was walking with a boy in the garden. I was very jealous of her and him after having to leave Estella. Inside the house, Mrs. Pocket was shouting about her baby eating needles. Mr. Pocket was out teaching, so there was nobody for me to talk to. I couldn't stop thinking about Estella. But now I was back in London, I was thinking about Joe too. I felt bad about how I had treated him, and began to wish that I had never met Miss Havisham and Estella. I wished that I was still in the village on the marsh and worked with Joe as a blacksmith. It would have been a simpler and happy life. I was spending a lot of money in London, and I didn't have any money of my own yet. Herbert was also spending a lot of money, like me. Before we met, he had not done this, but he was my best friend, and now we did almost everything together. We had spent so much money on food and drink, as well as expensive things. We went to a club called the Finches, and spent a lot of money there with other young gentlemen. Drummle also went to the Finches and caused a lot of trouble afterwards. Herbert and I had to spend less and less on going out at night, and less on food and drink. Herbert was still trying to make his fortune in shipping, but it wasn't going as well as he wanted. We decided to make ourselves feel better about our situation by adding up the money that we owed. Herbert wasn't very good at doing one thing without getting distracted, but I helped him to do it. After we had finished, it felt like we had done something to fix our problem. A letter was pushed under the door when we finished dinner that had my name written on it. It said that Mrs. Joe was dead and her funeral was on Monday. This was the first time that someone had died since I was a child. I felt horrible that I hadn't been to see her since I became a gentleman. All I could think about was Mrs. Joe sitting in Joe's house and going to hurt Orlick. I was certain that Mrs. Joe wouldn't have died if Orlick hadn't attacked her. I went back to the village for the funeral. Many people attended the funeral. I helped carry the coffin. Joe was very upset, and Mr. Pumblechook sat drinking all day, telling everyone that he was the reason I was now a gentleman. After the funeral, I sat with Joe and talked about when I was a child. Then I sat with Biddy and talked about the same things. "What are you going to do now?" I asked Biddy. She had spent all her time looking after Mrs. Joe, and now had nothing to do. "I am going to be a teacher at the school, and I will be just fine, thank you," she said to me angrily. She told me that one day Mrs. Joe had said Joe had gone to see Mrs. Joe, and she had said, "Joe? Pardon, Pip," and then she had died. Biddy then told me that Orlick had been watching her and followed her when she left the house. I was so angry that I wanted to go and kill Orlick, but Biddy told me to calm down. I stayed at Joe's house that night and slept in my old room. I was very proud of myself for sleeping in my old room. When I woke up the next morning, I watched Joe working. He still looked very young and strong as he worked. Biddy gave me bread and milk for my journey back to London. "I am sorry if I upset you last night," she said to me. I said goodbye to Biddy and Joe and promised them both that I would come back and visit them soon. When I got back to London, Herbert was waiting for me. We still owed a lot of money, and we kept spending money that we didn't have. But time had gone past very quickly, and it was now my 21st birthday. Mr. Jaggers called me into his office, where he asked me a lot of questions. When I had answered them all, Mr. Jaggers told me, "Now you can have your birthday present. You will get £500 a year to spend from now on." I didn't know what to say. It was more money than I had ever thought I would have. "But who is the one giving me all this money?" I asked. Mr. Jaggers didn't tell me who it was. Instead, he told me that he was coming to dinner at my house to eat with Herbert and I. As I left the office, I went to talk to Wemmick. I wanted some advice on investing some of my money. I wanted to invest it in a friend who wanted to own a merchant and shipping business. "Never lend anyone money," Wemmick told me. "Are you saying that as a friend or a man in business?" I asked. "As a man in business. If you want to know what I think as a friend, you will need to come to my house to talk to me," Wemmick said.